You're listening to the Esoterics Podcast, hosted by Joe Figueres and Fiorelise Franco. Everyone.
Hi, we are so happy to be back. Season four. Can you even believe it? Remember when we first started?
Yeah. It's just flown. It's crazy. I can't believe it. When I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's been four seasons. But yes, here we are. We're back.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, me, I like to take like a freaking 12-month hiatus in between seasons, so season four wouldn't be happening for another couple months was up to me, but it's not because I don't love talking to everybody. I just get lazy. That's what
it yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we do, you know, take the time to create this content for you guys and research the stuff and all this. And so, yes, it is work. It's fun, but it's also work. So.
It is work.
How was your summer?
It was good. You know, obviously we saw each other at the beginning for the retreat. And then since then it's been very creative.
Oh, okay.
Made some beautiful pieces. And I'm starting to think about opening up commissions again and all that good stuff. So it's been a good summer filled with lots of healing, lots of inner work because of this astrology.
Uh-huh.
How about you?
I took it as a time to just spend time with the family. It was like really my priority, and socializing too, just kind of spending quality time. It was really, that was really my key theme for the summer was quality time.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. And that has been actually really lovely for your Libra, socializing and stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I've learned some things about myself. Like, I can't do it every weekend. Mm-hmm. I do need time to recharge. I do need time just for myself. I have also continued to spend a lot of time changing things around the house because apparently that's just, I'm never happy, like mm-hmm. never satisfied. Mm-hmm. So there's always something new to make or to add or, you know, to ideas to come up with. So yeah, still doing that. I've found joy in going to estate sales, mm-hmm. local estate sales. That's been fun. Mm-hmm. And also like, okay, I've always been nosy in the way of if I see an open house, I'm going. Mm-hmm. Like if you give me the opportunity to come into your house,
you just want to poke around. Like what y'all got up in here?
I want to see you. The layout of this house. I want to see what works, what doesn't work, you know, all that. But I went to this really cool house a few weeks ago with Sophia, and it was a house built in maybe like early 1910s, 1920s. This thing had the most old-timey but epic sunroof, like a sunlight. Mm-hmm. Where the entire living room was essentially like it was almost like it had a window on the ceiling is essentially the best way I can describe it, like a large window on the ceiling. And then there were stained glass windows throughout the house. They had a library with a stained glass window. Yeah, it was the coolest house. Just seeing that kind of stuff was like, this is really neat.
See, not me. I'm too afraid because I'm afraid I'll be picking up a ghost or something. So usually I'm typically like, oh, this is a way to die. This is how people die is by going into open houses and stuff. But which is surprising because normally I have a very adventurous spirit and I'm like, let's do it. But mm-hmm, mm-hmm. something about houses and open houses and stuff like that where uh-huh. I'm like,
okay. Yeah. Well, and estate sales, I would say, are worse because generally estate sales are because someone passed.
Yeah, right? Well, people that died and then all their shit that they're probably going to be pissed that you're picking through and, you know.
Yeah. But when they do I do buy things. I do set the intention that I intend to purchase this, and I'm purchasing it with respect, and that I'm going to take care of it.
That's smart.
Yes. So it's like, you know, thank you for letting me have this, or letting, you know, letting me find this. And I promise to be a good caretaker of whatever it is I'm buying.
Yeah. I always vibe stuff whenever I go to I even go to Goodwill. Right. And if those socks have a tag brand new on them, I don't care. I still vibe them out.
Yes.
But mostly wooden, anything wood, I definitely vibe it out because for some reason, I don't know why. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to get like a haunted artifact or, you know, something like that.
It's too many movies that start with like a haunted box.
It really is. The best, the most beautiful, amazing experience I ever had with this, it's a china cabinet and I don't have it anymore. It's in Michigan. And this person who has it is holding it for me because the hope is one day I'm going to drive there and pick her up because that thing is connected to me. I don't know, but it was years and years ago. I walked into a Goodwill and I saw this china cabinet and I was like, that's mine. That's mine. I don't know how I know, but that's mine. I took it home and I had it forever. And then when I had to leave and I couldn't take her with me, I literally sobbed. And aww. So my friend Rena is like, I will keep her for you. So yeah. I know that I can have her back at any time, but there's something about this cabinet and I really want her back. And anyway, it'll be like a fun adventure, like road trip going to get her.
Yeah. So I've been on a couple of chat boards and somebody asked that question recently about, what did they say? Something about like they picked up a chair from, yard sale somewhere and they swear that it just has this bad energy. And she's like, what do I do? She's like, I'm telling my husband, I think we need to get rid of it. So I had suggested, I'm like, first, maybe you should take it outside first.
Yeah.
Take it outside under the sunlight and then do a smoke cleanse on it. Or do like, spray it down with some, you could do like vinegar and maybe some essential oils. And, but primarily you're setting the intention that you're clearing it of any old energies, any unwanted energies. You're just allowing them to free themselves from this item and put it on the sunlight. Let it get some, what's the saying of everything's clean in the sunlight or whatever? Sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I don't think that's just a metaphor. I do think that the energy of the sun really helps a lot with that, with clearing stuff out. So if you have something that you've found and you really like it, but you're afraid of the energy with it, just do a little cleanse on it first and I think it'll be fine.
Right, right. I mean, again, vibe it out. You know what I mean? Like if it's something that gives you the heebie-jeebies, leave it there because there's, let someone else deal with that. You know, you don't need to see this cool box and then you take it home and you find out it's a fucking divot box, whatever those boxes are when there's like a Satan himself a comes out of it, right?
You're
mine now.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those. I've seen dolls at estate sales where I'm like, no, thank you. Absolutely not. No, never.
No.
They were selling an urn at the last estate sale I went to. I'm like, first of all, who would sell that? Mm-mm. Please tell me it's empty.
Creepy
and
people.
And third of all, who would buy that? No.
I have a Facebook friend and she is lovely. She's just the coolest and she makes these awesome soaps and I can't remember the name of her company right now, but I'll link it in the show notes. Handmade soaps, they're amazing. But she also has this hobby of decorating dolls, like creepy dolls, right? Like death dolls and stuff like that. And I am like, no. Why would you on purpose decorate little demons, these dolls as little demons, little soulless creatures that will kill you in your sleep, and then line them up in your spare bedroom?
No way.
I'm not going to do that.
That reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld where George has that girlfriend or that fiance and she just has nothing but dolls in the bedroom. And then one of them turns into his mother and she starts talking to him.
So stupid. Fuck no. I do not like dolls. I liked, I like Barbie dolls, but
yeah.
I love Barbie dolls still to this day. Oh, speaking of, have you seen Barbie?
Yes, did
yeah.
you?
Yes.
Barbie. And what did you and what
oh,
did
I
you
think? Loved Barbie. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It was funny. It was entertaining. Yes. I mean, fucking Kate McKinnon was my favorite weird Barbie.
Same.
Absolute same. Favorite. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's good. And I can't believe how it has smashed all the box office records. So I'm hoping that this is a really big wake up call for Hollywood and a boon for female directors and yeah. you know, sort of, you know, women empowerment type of thing. So it really has been very interesting. The stories that are coming out of that, like women going home and breaking up with their narcissistic asshole, you know, boyfriends because,
oh, really?
You know, yeah, just all these cool sort of huh. things, which, you know, I'm just not glad that women are breaking up with their boyfriends or relationships are ending. I'm happy that people are saying they're finding a message behind it other than, you know, some dumb, silly movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Then, yeah. Then just straight up entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we expand the human consciousness, is kind of opening up ourselves to new ideas and mm-hmm. new perspectives.
Yes. Yes. And it shows us too, you know, I don't know. I loved everything about it. I loved America Ferrara. I loved her yes. character.
Yeah.
I just, all of them, even freaking my favorite Barbie though. Yes, it was weird Barbie, but also yes. who's the one? Alan.
Alan. Yes. Michael weird Sarah. Barbie is definitely number one. And then Alan was definitely number two for me too. Yes. Yes.
Alan Barbie. But,
okay. Okay. And I love this explanation that somebody had of this. Okay. Cause, I'm sure you've already heard of the men that had the problem with oh Ken God, and how Ken was portrayed and all this. And it's like, because the Kens are the patriarchy. They represent the yes, patriarchy or more, most importantly, what the patriarchy does to men, yep. how it hurts them. And Alan is how men, I don't want to say should be, but that's Alan is a liberated man who isn't a victim of the patriarchy. He's there. He listens. He's available to help, but he's not insisting that he's in charge, and he's a friend. Yes. So yes, he's there. He's a partner. He's a true partner. He's not trying to overpower the Barbies. So yes, Alan.
Yes, Alan. Yay, Alan.
Yeah, so the Barbie movie was great. Yeah, I went, mm-hmm. I took Sophia, and I want to see it again. I need to watch it with Mike because I know he'll enjoy it. I know he doesn't do well when things are like, he feels like things are overhyped or whatever, but he's gonna like it because he loves Bridesmaids with me. Mm-hmm. When I showed him Mean Girls, he loved that movie too. Mm-hmm. He likes all the comedy flick, the girl flicks. He loves that shit.
Well, yeah, right? Isn't he's like the number one bad girls fan. He's the one that got me hooked on that stupid show. The other thing about Barbie that is, well, it's not necessarily Barbie, but this summer especially uh-huh. is God damn the patriarchy. I mean, there's so many things that have been happening in the world, out in the culture, in regard to the falling of the patriarchy, and just all of these white people are angry. Oh my God. I follow a bunch of groups, but I follow lots of Karen, I don't know, accounts on Instagram.
Yes.
And
yes,
who people are just, they're getting the audacity. They're just flat out saying, I'm white, I'm better. They're saying, you know, gay people suck, trans people. I mean, they're just flat out saying all these awful things, you know, about humans. And so that's been interesting to watch. Politics has been crazy. Mitch McConnell, he's just spacing out, like, you know, having a stroke on camera, and people are like, he's fine. He's fine.
Oh my God. Yeah. And Dianne Feinstein too. She's just like that
girl,
poor lady.
Take a seat, lady.
The skin is like falling off of her face. Like, she's like Dude, lady, you're done. Retire.
Retire. Trump's indictments, like this is indictment number 4, and then his goon squad, like Giuliani. There's just so much in the news that's been happening. It's just been crazy, but it is all the falling of the patriarchy. And it's like, yeah, not even like, look, I love men. Ugh, I love men. I don't want to see, you know, down with men. I'm not down with that right now.
No.
But I love, I won't say I love it, but it's like, at what point is everybody collectively going to be like, a lot of the issues that we have in this world are the result of these asshole, narcissistic, power hungry, capitalistic men.
And they've got an imbalance of power. Yes. Yeah.
They've just got to go, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. they have to step down or something. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
been interesting to watch. Over the last several months, and you know, the astrology supports it too.
Yes. Yeah. Just like Venus retrograde supports all the breakups that were happening too.
I know. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not, you know, it's just interesting. Let's see. Well, speaking of, astrology, that's what we're going to talk about today. But do we have any announcements? I think we do.
Yes, we do.
We do.
We have officially announced our 2024 retreat, the Quantum Consciousness Retreat. This is next level quantum practices for healers, mystics, seekers, and alchemists.
I am so excited about that. It's happening in Desert Hot Springs, California. That's located near Joshua Tree National Park, which I'm personally excited because we had planned to go to Joshua Tree one day and then did sort of a detour once I was like, wait a minute, what? Crystals, stones, cabochons? Yeah. Oh, no, let's go there. You know, but that's Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd. So it is midweek, which might make it a little bit easier for travel for some of you. Registration is open. It's open. It's open now. The cost of the entire week is $1,555. But we have the option to make monthly payments via PayPal. So I think it's, what is it? Klarna? Is it Klarna?
No, it's PayPal.
PayPal. Okay. Yes. Which is different. Okay. But yeah, so, you know, if you register now, you have what, 6 months to make payments. Yes. So it's very, very affordable. So what do we mean, Fee, when we say next level quantum practices for healers, mystics, seekers, and alchemists?
So this event, immersed in beautiful desert of Joshua Tree National Park, you will learn several practices and techniques to accelerate your spiritual journey, up-level your business and client practices, or just simply use the power of the quantum field to intentionally live a life of more prosperity and joy.
Right, right. It's 4 days of learning how to harness quantum energy and use it to power your current practices, or any new practices that you might learn with either your clients, if you're a healer or, you know, some sort of practitioner, or just use it for your own journey. That's what I've been doing, is using it for my own journey. And it's freaking been crazy, amazing, and cool.
You'll learn self-mastery practices in the areas of channeling, manifestation, visualization, breath work, and dream work. You'll also learn to facilitate a healing circle and how to develop and interpret a soul blueprint chart for yourself and others.
Yeah. Fee's going to run you through dream work, right? And also breath work. And she's going to teach us how to facilitate a healing circle. That is cool.
So you can do it either for yourself, or if you want to do it with clients, or if you just want to create a beautiful way to create a safe circle with friends. Use however you want.
Yeah. I want to touch on the soul blueprint aspect of it. I'm going to teach you how to use astrology, numerology, and human design within the Akashic Records to create your own soul blueprint chart. And this is something that you'll learn how to do for yourself. You'll learn how to do it for others, and you can incorporate that into all of your practices. And let me tell you what, when you have somebody's soul blueprint in front of you, your own or somebody else's, it just brings in all of this clarity around, oh, this is why I do this, and this is why this is happening. And it's really cool.
It's amazing. Yes. And lastly, each member of the Sacred Weekend will have the opportunity to receive an intuitive reading using Akashic energy for an even more specific insight into your soul's plan and individual Reiki energy work sessions.
Yeah, it's Karuna Reiki, right?
Yes.
Yay, yes. Because this one here, she got certified in Karuna Reiki over the summer.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. So she's sharing that with us, and I'm excited. I don't think I've ever had a Karuna Reiki session, actually.
All the details are on our website, esotericspodcast.com/events.
And the house is kind of bougie, too. I'm super excited about it. It's like going on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful, gorgeous house.
Yes. All right. So what are we talking about today? Exactly.
Today, we are going to get into the basics of astrocartography. The season three sort of, the last episode of season three, you covered soul astrology. So, in keeping with that sort of, theme, and also the fact that I've just been obsessed with astrology, obsessed with learning it, diving into it. And I thought this would be a really fun way to, talk about, astrocartography, mm-hmm. And do a little teaching too.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So we all know how helpful astrology is sort of in determining, you know, our whys. Why am I experiencing these things, these life circumstances? Why are these people in my life? And, you know, why am I called to do this specific thing, right? That's what astrology teaches you, the why. But astral cartography, similarly, it gives us a little help when we're looking for answers. Where will I thrive? Where will I feel inspired? Where will I most easily achieve my goals? Where can I vacation? So we can use our astro map to help identify geographic areas for like I said, things like vacations, looking for your soulmate, or even to relocate. Your map can also reveal places to avoid that don't support your personal goals. So it's a really cool, fun thing to learn and peruse and look over. Parts of it are really excited by. Other parts, I'm like, ugh, it's like I get depressed by, right? I'm like, fucking astrocartography. Right? But it all balances out in the end. All right, so let's go into a little bit of the history.
Okay.
It was introduced in the 70s by astrologer Jim Lewis, who developed a system of revealing the places a person can find love, money, a new career, success, simply by visiting or moving to a new location. Okay. And I'll get into this a little bit deeper later, but also you don't have to visit or move. You can harness a location's energy without traveling there. And later I'll tell you how.
Okay.
So using your birth chart information, an astro map is created featuring these series of lines like around the globe, around the map, that represent mm-hmm. a planet's path at the time of your birth. This is the path of the planet at the time when you were born. And then each of these lines are a different color. And that's really important. And I'll tell you what all the colors are. And as with astrology, each of these lines represent a specific planetary association that influences different aspects of your life. Okay.
Okay.
So when you pull your own astro map, it can be overwhelming and confusing. Like that's what I said the first time. I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I just see a bunch of lines.
Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of lines. So at first glance, the map's going to show you a bunch of lines that make no damn sense.
Right.
All right. So we're going to simplify this. So it will definitely help to have your astro map open while you're listening to this so you can follow along, okay? You're going to – it'll help you visually comprehend. So I know Fee has her map open. Yes. And so you can pull one from astro.com, astroseek.com. There are a bunch of websites, and we'll link a couple of those in the show notes for you.
Yes.
All right. And so to pull it again – just like an astrology chart, you're going to need the exact time, place, and date of your birth, the same as a standard astrology chart. I think I said that twice, double. All right, anyway. So for the purpose of explanation and interpretation, I'm going to assume you have your map open in front of you, looking at the geographic area of your choice. The other thing is I typically look at the U.S., okay? But I have also spent a bunch of time poring over the countries I've dreamed about, you know, living in and visiting and exploring and all that stuff. So it's one of those things that I'm like, it's a time sucker, right? It sucks you in. The other thing that's important to remember as you look at the lines on your map is the closer you are to a line, the more you'll feel the energy of that particular planet. And the standard distance for the most effective influence of a line is, it seems to be about within like 150 miles.
Okay.
So first things first, you got your chart open in front of you. Let's go through the planets, okay? So the easiest way to do that is with your chart in front of you, you're going to click on a line. And then you're going to notice over on the right side of the screen, it's going to give you an example or an explanation of what everything is.
Yes.
And there's two things you're going to see. You're going to see the name of the planet, like the sun, the moon, Mercury, blah, blah, blah. But you're also going to see what's called a key line. And each planet line will also be labeled with an abbreviation of AC, IC, MC, or DC. And we'll get into what those mean. Okay.
Okay.
So first let's go through the planets. All right. The sun is the orange line. Okay. And your sun line is going to give you the locations that are aligned with your core personality. The sun is all about yourself and your identity. And when you're near this line, life just feels a little bit more easy. You're comfortable, you're confident, you feel aligned, and you're on track and in the flow of your soul purpose. On this line, you'll experience success and have a positive influence on others. If you want to live your best life, head to one of these sun spots. Where's your sun going through?
Mine runs basically down the almost East Coast, Midwest. Let me see. It goes through very close to Toronto, but then Pittsburgh.
Okay, so the East Coast.
And then, Pittsburgh through Charlotte, and then down into like close to Fort Lauderdale, which, no thank you, not going to Florida anytime soon, through Cuba.
Fuck you, Florida.
And Panama.
So when you went to the East Coast this summer or the spring, how'd you feel there?
I've always had a thing with the East Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ever since I was like a teenager, I always swore that I wanted to like marry a man from New York, which is like, what's the point of that? But so if you'd like to know what my compromise was I married a New York Yankees fan.
It's
so
true. He's always has a New York Yankees hat on every time I see him.
So there it is. But yes, I love the East Coast. I don't know if I could live there because of the snow, but I love visiting there. Absolutely, 100%.
And the snow in New York, they don't, I fucking hate snow.
Gross.
But I digress. All right. Okay, so my son runs through Chicago, and it's the same thing. Ever since I was a little girl, I love Chicago. I've been there millions of times. Every time I go there, I just feel like it is the best city in the world. Chicago is definitely one of my favorite cities, and every time, I've always loved it there. And I thought I was going to move there, actually. Okay. The next one is the moon. The moon is a blue line, and that deals with your emotions, your instinct. It's your subconscious world. It's also your feminine energy. So under this line, you're going to feel more sensitive. Maybe your emotions it's a place where, if you want to like address your emotions, you might want to travel there or take a trip. This line points to where you'll feel the deepest emotions and experienced increased intuition. Yeah. It's also has like a nurturing aspect. So your capacity for compassion and understanding will shine. So let's say you wanted to do an intuitive development retreat. This might be some place to look for something to get to sort of the core of your emotions.
Okay. Mine is in Maine and the Dominican Republic.
Okay, cool. Right. I mean, that's the Dominican. Hell yes. I'll go there.
Hell yeah.
Mercury. Mercury is neon green. And that looks like a Taurus with a body, right?
Yes.
Your Mercury governs communication and intellect. So when you're near this line or under the influence of this line, you might feel expressive or inspired. Places on your Mercury line show you where you'll feel mentally strong and where you'll connect easily with others through language or writing, some form of communication. Uh-huh. If you're looking for creative inspiration, you'll find it in one of these areas. So this also, again, might be a good vacation to plan if you are like feeling blocked or you need inspiration if you're a writer.
Oh, that's cool. Mine runs straight through South America.
Oh, see?
Right through the middle.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be an amazing...
Bolivia.
All of these are like, where can I retreat? All of these, because I've been wanting to do like a legit retreat forever, just me, right? Like, not one on, because we put one on, you know, every year, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One where we get to just show up and participate. Yes.
Yes. And just do yoga and eat good food and walk in the jungle and be on the beach and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next one is Venus, and Venus is a dark green. And Venus, of course, is all about love, but it's also about beauty. And under these lines, that's where you might find romance and lasting partnership. But also, remember, Venus is about money and success, so material wealth and success. So you're going to want to research or follow this line if you're looking for your soulmate, or if you're ready to launch your career, any sort of successful endeavor. You can also expect what they call a serious glow up in a Venus, where it just increases your beauty, your magnetism, you know.
Also, if you've already found your person, it's a good place to either go get married or maybe have your honeymoon.
Yes.
On your Venus line.
That's a great idea. The honeymoon. I love that. Right. And then you'll be feeling all lovey-dovey and looking good. And
there you go. Yes.
Yeah. I will say that Venus is the one, you know, because I'm searching for partnership, and Venus is the one that I'm always like, where's my Venus? And then I'm always like, fucking Venus. Yeah. I'm not going to Bolivia. I'm not doing it. It's the worst. It's stupid. I don't even know. I'm giving up.
Mine is in Sao Paulo and then just like the Atlantic Ocean. So either we need to go on a cruise or we need to go to Sao Paulo.
Let's do it. Sao Paulo. Maybe. What do we got? We got Mars. Mars is the next one. Mars is red. And Mars contains obviously passion, passionate and intense masculine energy. Mars is going to bring excitement if you're trying to cultivate and launch a passion project, or you're trying to become a leader, or just bring a little excitement into your life.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this line is that all that energy, because there's so much energy, it can leave you feeling burned out if you spend a lot of time here. So it's not a place that you're going to want to live. Right? Mars is someplace where you're going to go when you need some excitement. Like how Stella got her groove back type of thing, right? Go 7 days and then get out of there.
Okay. Because mine goes through Russia and I'm not going there.
Is that the only place it goes through is Russia?
No. It goes through there and then down into Istanbul and down into Africa, Sudan.
Ooh, that would be a cool trip.
Let's see. There's on some of this map that has these circles, like these red, each line has a circle, which I don't know what that means.
Each line has a circle. So there are also, those are aspects like trines and sextiles.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
It's opposition maybe.
Yeah. So there's something going on down in Africa for me on the Mars line, which it's my astrocartography. It's just, I don't really like how it's the way that it shows up on this whole map of the world. Cause I don't really care to travel that far out of my current continent. I don't know. Right? I know some people love travel, like, and I do. I like to go on vacation. I like to travel, but I like to travel to very specific places that I like.
Right.
I'm not a world traveler person.
Traveler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do love to travel the world, but I do not care for like 14-hour plane rides. Like, honestly, five in me is just like, ugh.
Yeah. My vacations are based off of food. So if they have if they have amazing cuisine, I'm there. If mm-hmm. if you have to be like, oh, their food is an acquired taste, or mm-hmm. their food is too different from, and I'm sorry, but I can't. I'm not gonna do that.
No,
I don't compromise with food.
You would love like an Italian vacation, but now Amsterdam, the Dutch food is not. They're not known for their cuisine. It's really boring and bland. And
I've heard
we had some great. Asian food.
Lots of fish.
Yeah.
Lots of fish.
But Amsterdam, though, is the coolest city. So, but I digress. all right. So Jupiter. Jupiter mm-hmm. is bright purple. And of course, that's about abundance and prosperity. It's a positive line that supports blessings, expansion, and overall success. So this line is going to show you areas where you experience luck and abundance, especially when it comes to the material. The other positive vibes that come with this is if you're looking to be lucky in love or strike gold, follow your Jupiter line to success. So that's something I should look at is my Jupiter line. I didn't think to look at that and see, well, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Mine, I think, kind of runs through Texas and most of Mexico. Actually, my Jupiter line. I'm looking at it now.
Luck and abundance. Well, that makes sense because that's where
my family is from.
Yeah. I think, you know, with doing circles and, you know, and then you're bilingual and you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I can definitely travel there mm-hmm. with very, very little issue. It runs through, through the center of Mexico, some parts of Texas, down up New Mexico, Colorado. Yeah. So that, almost, what is that? Mountain time area, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Saturn. Oh, my friend Saturn. I've known Saturn my entire life. Saturn is dark red, and Saturn governs structure. And as a Capricorn, it's my ruling planet. Under this line, you're bound to come upon challenges and struggles. It's a fucking story of my life. While a bit tiresome, and it is, those of us who deal with Saturn on the daily are just like, Jesus Christ. Saturn's energy teaches you the hard lessons, and it pushes you through discipline and growth. And you're thinking, why would anybody go anywhere on a Saturn line? Well, this line does correspond to duties, responsibilities, and the more serious side of life. So mm-hmm. I don't know that you would plan to go there if, wanted a light, fun, energizing vacation. You're going to go there when you want to learn who you are. What are your values? Who am I? When you're looking for transformation, when your life is sort of like, this is not what I thought it would be. I need a whole new, outlook.
Uh-huh. Or maybe you find yourself that you're already living on your Saturn line, and it might be indication this is your time to move.
And it's time to move. Things are so hard. This is true. Right. The Saturn line might not be the most comfortable path to walk, but you will be forever changed in ways that truly matter. So, and that's the whole point of Saturn. Saturn is partnering with us to say, hey, listen, you got to change some things. So let's do this.
Yeah. This isn't
working. No. Uranus. Uranus is light blue, the ruler of Aquarius. When under the Uranus line, don't be surprised if you find yourself feeling rebellious and ready to flip the script on your life. Uranus is associated with innovation and life's extremes. So if you're feeling stuck in a rut, traveling to one of these places can jolt you out of that. Whatever it is you're looking for, expect to find it suddenly and in unexpected ways.
I'm really laughing because mine runs through Alabama.
Oh my God. Ew. Ew. No offense to anybody in Alabama. We love you.
We love you. You're listening, you personally. If you're listening to this, but most likely, you know.
Gross.
Yeah, of course that would like make me emotional and sensitive. You have the worst fucking laws and the way that you treat people, minorities. Bama. It's fucking awful.
So I had a client like a week or so ago, and she is moving to the southeast. I think the Georgia, Atlanta area, and her Uranus line goes straight through there. And so when she was telling me that she's thinking about moving, she's like, blah, 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 you know, I'm thinking about moving. And basically she's like, I just need a completely different life. And I'm like, well, let's look at your astral cartography real quick and see, you know, if anything runs through Atlanta. I think that's where it was. And her Uranus line runs straight through Atlanta. And I'm like, yo, your life's about to change. You are about to flip the script on your own life. And she left there so happy and so excited. So I'm really excited for her. I hope she keeps in touch so that I know, you know, how this has changed. So this is astral cartography. The reason that I'm into it is because, of course, I'm going into my 7 personal year, which is the year of exploring everything. I go down every rabbit hole possible. But also, I've been using it in my Akashic readings for people that say to me, I feel like I need to move. I just don't know where to go.
I have no idea. Yeah. If they have no idea where to go, this is a really great place to start. Yeah.
It's such a good place to start. All right. Neptune. Neptune is a light purple line, and that's the planet that deals with imagination and illusion or delusion. It connects us to those dreamy, mystical feelings and deeper spirituality. So basically, if you're feeling blocked from your intuition, if you're feeling disconnected, visiting a place on your Neptune line can help you rediscover that side of yourself in abundance, right? It's like reconnecting. Again, a wonderful place to retreat.
It says artists appreciate the inspiring and sensitive nature of these surroundings.
Yes, yes. Your Neptune line is great for taking a dream vacation or a spiritual retreat, but it's not a good place to live full time because you can't be in that dreamy space 24/7.
Oh, mine runs through Costa Rica.
Retreat.
That's awesome.
I don't even know where mine runs through. I don't have my chart up.
Very nice.
Pluto. Pluto is what brought me to Portland. Pluto is a black line. And Pluto deals with transformation and rebirth. Under this line, you can expect your deepest shadow issues to come to the surface for healing and lasting growth. Locations on your Pluto line will force you to confront uncomfortable truths and open up the floodgates of deeply buried trauma, wounding, emotions, memories. Listen, if you're looking for growth and transformation, follow your Pluto line. And as somebody who's living on their Pluto line, it may not be the most comfortable process. It's not. And remember, Pluto and Saturn are fucking best friends too. They're not, but you know. And so, but what it does is you will transform into who you were ultimately meant to be, your most authentic self. And I talk about my story, you know, randomly here and there, but I moved from Michigan to Portland sight unseen. I'd never been here before. I just knew I was supposed to move. And I didn't have any idea about my Pluto line. I just knew that my friend Eli Stewart, who is a psychic and a medium, he works at Oracle's Apothecary, if you want to book with him. Eli pulled my astral cartography chart for me, and he's like, hey, you have your Pluto line going straight through Portland. Well, I didn't know what that meant at the time. I just was like, oh, well, okay. He's like, yeah. And then Curtis was, of course, like, oh, you're going to meet your husband there. And I'm just like, okay. You know? So I'm like, Portland it is.
Yeah.
But now that I know, it literally Portland, the Pluto line absolutely is about transforming. It has changed everything, how I think, everything. It's been wonderful and it's been hard. So Pluto's not an easy line.
Not for the weak.
Pluto is not for the weak-hearted. Yes. Nope. Yep. No. Similarly, your Chiron line is also black. And Chiron is actually a comet. It's an asteroid. And it deals with deep, deep healing. But this is your soul healing. This is the shit that, like, past life. This is like your, you know, your like Eve's wound. There's a potential to heal yourself and others, actually, of those deeper wounds that we have on your Chiron line, the ones that are super difficult. But Chiron also deals with how we resolve our deep wounds, our hurts, right? So hence the nickname, the wounded healer.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Where's your Chiron?
It runs through a small part of Mexico, like just, I think it's the Yucatan, actually, state of, yeah, in Mexico. And angles out through, again, hits Baton Rouge, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, up to Detroit. Runs straight through Detroit, actually.
Does it really? And you've been to Detroit. You've been to a couple, several times.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything? I mean, we're always shopping when we go. Shopping and eating.
How about me trying to get to Detroit earlier this summer? That was 100% a Chiron wound.
It was too, because you were just like devastated. You're like, I hate the world.
I hate it. I hate Delta.
Oh my God. I felt so helpless and so bad for you. And I was like,
nothing we could do.
Just come to me. Right. I was in freaking in Detroit. Oh my God. It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I should stop trying to travel to Detroit. Maybe that's the Chiron indicator.
It's true. Next time we're gonna fly into freaking O'Hare and make those Michigan people come get us. Come get us. We're not going into Detroit.
Yeah, it's Chicago only. Also close to Nashville too. Very, very, very close to Nashville, which I've also been to. And I'm trying to think of like what was going on in my life at the time. Yeah, I would say, yeah, there was definitely some shadow things that I was dealing with at the time when I was in Nashville. So, yes. Yeah, this
jets. Where does your Pluto line run? That's the one about transformation.
Oh, that's the one I think in. It goes. It's all the ocean. It's in Brazil. Brazil. Yep, straight like down the middle of Brazil. Macapa is the nearest city that it like hits, but then it just runs straight through Brazil.
All right, excellent. So, you don't have a ton of places.
Yeah, no, not
on your Pluto line.
Not physical land. No. Let me see what Greenland. Yeah, Greenland. If I want to go, there's nothing to see in Greenland. That's just ice.
So basically, what that tells me is that you don't have a ton of transformation and rebirth in this life. How many? What do you? Do you know? Do you have your astrology chart open? What planets do you have in like the eighth and ninth houses?
Oh, I'll tell you. I should have some planets in the eighth and ninth because I was born in the morning. And so my chart is very left side leaning. Like I have most of them. Yeah.
They call it a day chart.
Uh-huh. It's a day chart. Actually, so you asked me about my ninth and eighth?
Yeah, eighth and ninth houses.
I don't actually. I lied. I don't have any I don't have any planets in there.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, and that makes sense though, because you don't have any, your Pluto isn't really Pluto's about transformation. Exalted. And the eighth house is about transformation. So, I mean, that makes sense actually then.
Yeah. I don't think I'm in this life to do a bunch of transforming. I think I'm obviously just like anyone else. I'm here to learn lessons, But I think my main purpose here is really about working with others, communicating with others, and all of that entails.
100%. That's your 22-4. But remember, you also have an 11-2 in there too. Yeah. I don't have any planets in the eighth house of transformation, but my entire freaking chart is all geared towards transformation. Like, this is the lifetime where I'm meant to heal all of my old past, every single freaking piece of nonsense and fucking heal in this lifetime. There's also the north node lines and the south node lines. And of course, your north node represents your fate and destiny, and your south node represents your karmic past. And these lines can help you better understand your purpose, make connections, amplify it, maybe see the shadow effects of what may be holding you back. You know, it can take you out of your comfort zone. And these lines too can give you a life-changing experience that can change the trajectory of your path. But it also can bring you face to face with karmic lessons, karmic debt, all that good stuff. So, you know, maybe it's one of those, you know, trips for a seeker, a true seeker.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been talking this whole time, essentially, I've been looking at a world map of my personal astrocartography, but you can also look up local space as well. And so essentially you're just moving the marker around to the area where you currently reside. And then you can see how all all the same lines, the planets and all that are exalted or are there, you know, how their energy is moving through the local areas of where you live. So if you don't have any plans to move, you can also utilize this map in that way.
Yes. Yes. And then we'll be talking shortly about how to take advantage of the energy of your lines if you have zero plans to do anything.
Okay.
Really quick, I want to talk about the key lines. The key lines, each planet is also labeled with one of the following abbreviations that I mentioned earlier, the Ascendant, the IC, the MC, and the DC. Ascendant, the Imam Coeli, I'm not sure how you say that, the Midheaven, and then the Descendant, all right? These abbreviations, they have specific meanings, and you're going to interpret those in conjunction with the planetary meanings. So, for instance, Ascendant planets intensify your personality. So, if your Sun is on an AC line, your warm and outgoing personality will shine in this area, okay? But if Saturn is on your AC line, the goal-oriented and responsible side of your personality will take over if you're in these spots, if that all makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And hey, and also these, I have created, of course, a slide deck that I will post on the Esoterics Instagram account so that all of these are sort of there for you to look at. The IC, planets on the IC line impact your home and your family. So if Jupiter shows up on your IC line, you might up living in like this bougie home in a bougie neighborhood, right? But if you're looking for a spiritual home or vacation spot, that's when you'll want to follow your IC line. If you want to look for a place to retire, that's where you're going to want your Sun and IC line together.
Okay. Okay.
Midheaven obviously influences your career, reputation, status, that sort of thing. On a Sun MC line, you'll project warmth and influence. Very successful. But on a Pluto, you might experience the shadow side of yourself and pursue power in your profession, which is interesting. I don't know what my Pluto line is, an AC or an MC. Again, I don't have my chart up. The Pluto line is about experiencing your shadow anyway.
Okay, because I seen both pop up. There's yes. both. It kind of takes a just throughout the world, I guess. So there's one, a Pluto line, an IC, and that one's basically through like Asia, and then it skips through. Then I have Pluto AC, and that's essentially Alaska. And then the Pacific Ocean. And then I have another Pluto MC that's in the middle. That's the one that we were talking about, the South America one. And then I have a Pluto DC, and that's in like Europe, Russia, Africa.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, the DC line affects your closest relationships, both personal and business. Okay. And that's associated with the seventh house of partnership. So it reflects one-on-one relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So for instance, if you're looking to attract a partner, you're going to find your Venus descendant line to get a sense of where you might meet your soulmate, right? Okay. That's another one, right? But if you're hoping to settle down, you know, start a family, you're going to want to avoid locations on a Uranus DC line because Uranus is associated with obviously instability, extreme behavior, rebelliousness, that sort of thing. So you're definitely going to want to look at the abbreviations that are associated with your lines. And then if there are any aspects, like I said earlier, circles, triangles, squares, you know, for oppositions, trines, squares, that sort of thing. So again, you have to have a basic knowledge of astrology, but the cool thing is that they're really easy to look up. And typically all you have to do is click on the line and it'll tell you what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And that's what I like about this site is that it explains everything to you. You just click on the line, it'll tell you, give you a good explanation.
All right. So now I want to briefly touch on just some points on how to use your astrocartography. So basically, if you're looking for the best places to live,
mm-hmm.
You're going to look for lines marked IC. Okay.
Okay.
These are tied to home and family.
Okay.
All right. If you're looking for a life-changing experience like travel, vacation, you're going to look for AC and MC lines.
Okay.
And then if you're looking for love or meaningful relationships, strong partnerships, that sort of thing, you're going to look for DC lines on your map. So it's just really helpful. For you to chart your life out if you're
a Virgo
and you're like, I want to map everything out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So lastly, how do you harness a location's energy when you got no damn interest or intent on traveling? Right?
Or moving.
So what good is this?
Like, or moving.
No, you're there for the remainder.
I'm good. Yes. I'm done.
So according to all of the people in the know, and those are all the different areas and the different researchers, the different articles and websites that I've went through to put all this together, you don't actually need to physically go somewhere to capture the line's energy. And again, this comes back to intention. We all know how powerful intention is. Visualization. You can enjoy the energy of these places without going there. You can tap into it. You can call it in, that sort of thing. It's written in your astrocartography, so it's a part of your energy system. So what you can do is you can read books and watch movies, watch videos, go on YouTube. You can explore the art and the music of a particular geography or culture. You can explore and enjoy the cuisine of a region, you know. If you want to experience Budapest, then you can maybe have an evening where you create all these meals that are indigenous to Budapest. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Some Chicago-style pizza.
Dude. And can I just say that Chicago-style pizza is legitimately only found in Chicago. I don't care how many transplants try to do it. The only place you can get good-ass fucking Chicago-style pizza is Pizzeria Uno or Pizzeria Due. That's it. No place. Or Gino's too. Learn the language and buy goods from local artisans online. I thought that was a wonderful one.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's a great idea.
Love that. Yep.
Yeah.
Learning the language, you know, I mean, I've told you, I don't know how many times that it's a bucket list item for me to learn, basic conversational Spanish and, one day I shall do that, but every time, but then once, of course, I do it, then I'm going to be like, okay, now I'm going to need to go someplace so I can practice, right? Of course, I can always call you up and be like, practice with me, right? But it's not the same thing. So basically, your relationships are similar in this, you know, I won't say that. What I'll say is here's another cool sort of point. So with your relationships, so you, even though your significant other may have been born on your sun line, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you actually have to go there to meet them, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? I sort of started to confuse myself. So let's say your Venus runs through a place where you're like never, ever, ever going to go, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But when you meet your person, you realize that they were born on that Venus line. Yes. Okay. So okay. The lines influence you.
Okay.
I knew what I wanted to say. I just didn't know how I wanted to say it. All right. So just to wrap it all up. Oh, there's Charlie. Hi, Charlie. astral cartography helps us work with the energy of the lines that we find ourselves influenced by, which is, of course, based on our birth chart. So when you're feeling stuck and uncertain about the future, or you're feeling like you need something, or you want to dive deeper into it, this is how astral cartography in your chart can help you find clarity, you know, in a way that you might not have considered. It's a really cool modality.
Yeah,
it is. But like I told Fee earlier, before we started recording this, what I feel about it is that it's super cool to a certain degree, but then also I get depressed and I'm like, well, am I ever going to be able to, you know, experience the things that I want to experience because I'm not moving across the world to freaking have to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, okay. Cause I've always been of the theory that you can find someone no matter where you live. Like I've always felt that. I'm not of the belief system that like you have to travel somewhere or go or be in a specific place to find a person. I think it's more about yourself and where you're at and what your energy is attracting, and you will find your person. I don't think that you have to necessarily move again.
No, I'm not moving again. I'm not. Well, I mean, eventually I will. I mean, I know that I meant to move one more time. I just don't know where. You know what it is right now? It's in this is, of course, the ongoing saga of Joe's, you know, partnership, quest for partnership. But it's like I'm struggling right now because there are like two potentials in my life right now, but I'm not lit up by any of them. And then people will say, well, you know, your true soulmates, you know, they don't light you up. They don't excite you. You feel comfort. You feel, and it's like, no, that's, look, I get that all of the, you know, like the holistic psychologist says, you know, well, when you feel excitement, that's your trauma talking and all the shit.
Oh,
you know,
I'm
smarter than that. I'm more intuitive. I'm more insightful. I'm more self-aware than that. But here's the thing. There are major things about these guys where I'm like, that's not going to work. I mean, number one is super submissive. I will eat him fucking alive just for a basic, where are we going to go out to dinner? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the other one is so money conscious. You know what I mean? Like super conscious of money and kind of cheap. Uh-huh. And my dad was cheap and I did all the work to work around that. I can't date a guy that's cheap. I just can't.
No, so, I couldn't. I could not date a guy that's cheap. No fucking way.
No, like, and I'm not even talking in like a frugal way. I'm talking in like a stupid fucking way.
Yeah, no, there's a difference. There's a difference between being frugal and being being smart with your money or, you know, or even like having a budget. That's different. Mm-mm. But like cheap. And I've known cheap men. I knew a guy who had no fucking issue spending money on his bike, on his hobbies, on his shit. But when his wife would ask for stuff, it was like, no, we don't have money for that.
Right.
And he would do that because he was the one bringing in the income. And I was like, oh, fucking no way. That would never work for me. Absolutely not.
No. And to partner with someone like that, listen, wonderful man, wonderful guy, super, super cool. But when you partner with someone like that, you then have to sort of bring balance to their money mindset. And it has to come to an even thing. But when their shit, they haven't even begun working on it.
No.
Man, I don't have time for that because I've spent years working on mine. And it's a place where I am abundance and prosperity. And man, I just can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those are sort of, that's a side segue, you know, went down a little rabbit hole there, but those are the issues that I'm dealing with. So I'm sort of dealing with that inner struggle. Like, should I settle? But I don't really think it's settling, or am I being too picky? But I don't think it's me being picky. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I think it's self-awareness.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. And you're not the only friend that I have who's actively dealing with this too. And we were just having this conversation because he found himself in a relationship very quickly with someone who was very much into him, where he wasn't matched to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, well, how do you know? Like, how do you know if you're in love? Like, how do you know? And it's like, I don't think someone else can tell you. Mm-mm. I think you just know, and I think you just feel it. And I know that sometimes it takes some time for us to warm up to people because, you know, like, especially if it's been a long time or it's never happened for you before, like, you know, you go into it with some trepidation. Like, there's nothing wrong with easing into it where other people jump in, you know, two feet first, like, and that's it's what works for everyone. So I don't think there's anything wrong with taking things slowly, but essentially dating is just getting to know someone until you decide that you don't like them anymore.
So
there's nothing wrong with just getting to know someone.
No,
you know,
no. Yeah. And having fun and, mm-hmm. you know, really enjoying it. Right. But, so I don't know. I've just, like I said, in this super blue moon energy, I did a lot of work, a big old release, you know, ceremony, and just really just released the whole idea of, you know, looking for, you know, I want partnership and everything, but I just, it can't be the central focus of my life. Yeah. You know, or the lack of that in my life can't be my central focus. And, you know, and I think that hopefully will be really helpful, but dude, he's out there and he's such a cool ass dude. The other thing is that I know who I am and I know, you know, my values and I know what I'm looking for. And I know, you know, the level, how do I say I know my value. And so, mm-hmm. I am a vibrational match for that same type of person. And I'm not saying these other people aren't good people, but it's not a vibrational match.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think.
And if it's not, it's just not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting you bring that up too, because I just had, I don't know what I was listening to. And it was a woman. She was asking a psychic this question because she was saying, she's like, I want to get separate. I'm in the middle of getting separated from my significant other. And he's like, you're not a vibrational match. She's like, mm-hmm. yeah. She's like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
And then he tells her, he's like, so at this point he has the choice. Either he does the work to get to be, you know, to be the vibrational match to you, or he decides he doesn't want anything to do with that. And you have to live with that. And so that was the advice that he was giving her. But like, yeah, that makes sense. That's the same idea of like outgrowing relationships, right? Outgrowing friendships is that you're no longer a vibrational match.
Yeah. And I think too, another of the reason that this has been such a huge thing on my mind lately is because this all came about during Venus retrograde, mm-hmm. You know, because it's about what do you feel worthy of? Who do you feel worthy of? Why don't you feel worthy? What are the issues around that? And I just realized, like I told you, when we were talking about my experience with hypnotherapy, and mm-hmm. I had this really cool experience where I realized under hypnosis, when I was talking to my inner child mother, anybody, you know, any guy would be really freaking lucky to have me as a girlfriend, as a partner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I'm self-aware enough. You know, I don't bring a bunch of bullshit to the table. I mean, you know, you know me more than most people. I bring bullshit to the table sometimes, but it's usually because I'm pissed and frustrated and I can't figure something out. That's why. That's when I turn into a fucking brat. But, you know, the big stuff. So,
yeah.
I feel really comfortable in saying that about myself. And I know that somebody's going to be really, really, really lucky. So that's all because of Venus retrograde. So thank you, Venus retrograde.
He's been a good teacher.
He's been a good teacher. Yeah. All right, lovely humans. It has been such a fun time. But I think that means it's time to say goodbye, right?
Yeah.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please share us on your stories, but also please leave us a review. This is so important. It helps us move up in the ranks. It helps us get noticed. It helps the algorithms. It really does help our podcast grow. And if we grow, that means the ability to do this work grows.
Thank you all for hanging out with us today. Stay mystical, magical, and don't let anyone tell you what to do or where to move.
Or where to go, especially if you're telling me like to go someplace rude.
All right, bye.
Bye.